Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of the princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. They shall spread them before the sun and the moon, and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain in this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thou, that is Jeremiah, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall they turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Every one turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle dove, and the crane, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly, in vain made he it. The pen of the scribe is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do ye sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horse was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images, and with their strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" May God bless to our hearts this morning this very solemn reading from His own precious Word. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, as we come to this time of the service, settling our minds and hearts for the Word of God, we pray that the Holy Ghost will come now and with power descend upon this house. Descend, O God, upon me, I pray, and help me to speak with the authority of heaven. God, help us, we pray, for we live in a day of much compromise, a day of much which is called easy believism. We live in a day when there is so much that turns aside from that which is true and right. O God, we need help this day to understand the Word of God, and that it would be written upon our hearts with great power and with the authority of heaven. Forgive us, Lord, for the number of times we have read the Scriptures and they have been meaningless to us. We need to pray today and have the help of the Lord that Jesus Christ would be revealed to us from the Scripture, that the Holy Ghost would do His great work of making known the Son of God to the hearts of men. Lord, we need this today. We pray that Thy Spirit would come with convicting power to any who are unsaved here today, to any who are trusting in a false profession of faith. Lord, unsettle them, we pray. And for those who are away from God, backslidden, cold in heart, O God, stir, we pray, every heart this morning. Come, I pray, and stir up my own soul, and draw us that we might run after the Lord, and be so thrilled with joy and happiness inside that we have been both redeemed, and we have been called to serve the Lord, and to give our lives and devote ourselves to Him. Take hold, I pray, O God, of our young people today. Take hold, I pray, of our young people who are perhaps not sure of their future, not certain of the direction of God. Make it absolutely clear to their minds, we pray. Deliver them from carnality and worldliness, and bring them to the point of devoting their lives and their hearts unto the work of Christ. To this end, we pray for our brother Middleton as he comes this week to bring the Word of God. Bless this youth rally, we pray. Bless the meetings on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We pray that there would be the sound of abundance of spiritual rain. Lord, hear this our prayer today. We come to pour out our hearts before Thee, because we need, O God, a touch from heaven. We need Thee, Lord, to come near to us and to speak with the power of the Holy Spirit. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse of Scripture I want to leave with you today is the final one of verse 8. Comes by way of a question. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Jeremiah was a prophet who had a very unhappy task. He had the responsibility of bringing the word of judgment unto a people that had rebelled against God for generations. In the days of Jeremiah, rebellion and hypocrisy in the people of Judah, why these things were coming to a head. They had been warned time after time, prophet after prophet, and yet they had not repented of their sin, nor had they turned unto God. Oh, they had sacrifices. Oh, they had religion, but they had not the Spirit of the Lord with them. There was going through the motions of church attendance, synagogue attendance. They made their sacrifices. They observed the feasts and the celebrations that were commanded in the Word of God. But it was emptiness and it was rebellion, because their hearts were away from God. All they had was ritualism. All they had was a formality. But there was no heart in their religion. There was no heart in their worship. It was called dead worship. Backslidings increased. They went on. And they went on. And like water that is poured into a funnel, as it gets down toward the mouth of the funnel, it becomes faster and faster. And so, the Lord asks them some questions. In verse 5, He said, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return." Then look in verse 12. "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush." Are we seeing something of that today among people? Doing things that are completely the antithesis of the heart and spirit of the Word of God, and yet still saying we are doing the Lord's work. People who are blind, who are ignorant, who have no repentant heart. Verse 6 shows something of the blindness of these people. "For I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Every one turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into battle." Notice also verse 8. "How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribe is in vain." The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed, are taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord. They have replaced their own wisdom in the place of the word of God. There were many who were not saved. How sad it was. Verse 20 tells us that the harvest is past. The summer was ended. They were not saved. They had not entered into a position of repenting and of accepting and receiving the mercy that God had given to them. But verse 22, which is our text this morning, brings this series of questions to a climax. For the question is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the heart or the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Yes, there was a physician there. Yes, there was healing there. Yet the people had rejected that way. They had closed their minds. They had turned off their hearts. And I ask you today, what about you as you sit in this congregation? As you hear these words that are being spoken from the Lord's truth? Where are you today? Are you holding on to your sinful lifestyle? Is this verse applicable to you? Are you perhaps distant and away from God, cold in heart? Therefore, my friend, I encourage you and challenge you to listen carefully to the Word of God today. Because I want to look at this verse in light of the cross work of Jesus Christ. And what He has done for us, both in healing the sin-sick soul from our sinfulness, bringing us to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. But also, for those who might be here, who have slidden back and are away from God, there is yet healing for the backslider. Notice first of all with me, please, the means of this healing. We have a strange expression, the balm in Gilead. Balm is a resinous type of gum that's found in the Middle East. It comes from a very small herb. It is found, obviously, around the area of Mount Gilead. It's relatively insignificant. It doesn't provide any shade. It appears to have very little value. And yet the sap or the oil that is drawn from this herb is very valuable. Very valuable for healing, a remedy for wounds and for sores. Its weight in the Bible time was worth twice that of silver. It was valuable. Its name is derived from the manner in which the sap was procured from this little herb. For you had to scratch or pierce the herb, and then the sap would flow out. But friends, that's on the physical point of the healing. But you'll know from the context, this is not talking at all about physical healing. For the whole import of this chapter is about spiritual backsliding. It is about that which is needed in the heart, on the inside of the individual. And so the nature of this question is one that deals with a spiritual healing. And there is a beautiful picture in this balm in Gilead. A beautiful picture of the healing power that there is in the atonement of Jesus Christ for sinners. Mount Gilead, we could compare to Mount Calvary. The despised little shrub that you would walk by and many people would not even notice it. Our Savior was despised of men. The balm or the sap that comes from the little plant is parallel to the precious blood of Jesus Christ that flowed from His side, that procured for us the security of the everlasting covenant which the Lord Jesus gave for us. And so as the hymn writer said, we can invite you this morning, come every soul by sin oppressed. There is mercy with the Lord. Plunge now into that crimson flood that washes white as snow. There is healing here, my friend, for you who are unsaved. People who do not know the Lord are terminally ill with a disease called sin. And my, there are many who are hurting today from that. Broken homes, drug abuse, child abuse, abortion, and all the sins that go along with it? And did you know from the time that the Roe versus Wade decision, there have been over 40 million abortions in the United States alone? That's twice the population of Canada. Children that have been born, have been aborted. That's far more than the number of people, of Jews that were massacred in the Second World War. That's more than Mao Tse-tung massacred when he overtook in the communist revolution in China. The blood of the innocent cries up unto God, and the hands of many are dripping with blood of the innocent. It affects every part and aspect of society. Sin is like a disease. A disease that needs to be cured, and yet there is no cure in and of yourself. The Lord Jesus said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He did not come for those who were self-righteous, but the Lord Jesus came to proffer His salvation for those who were sinners. And friend, you and I today need to be cured from this disease of sin. It has infected our very soul like the most heinous of diseases today. You think of the disease of AIDS. You think of the disease of leprosy or Hansen's disease. These things which are in the bloodstream, they are repugnant, they are loathsome. They are the type of diseases that people have and they are set aside. Those diseases are transferred by blood, blood byproducts, In the spiritual sense, every human being is polluted because of the transfer of the sin from one man to another man. You know that nothing that defiles can enter into God's kingdom. The Lord has said, I am holy. And if we are to dwell with God in His presence, then we also must have a holiness that is far beyond anything that you and I as human beings could muster from ourselves, because of the sin that's in our heart and life. We are unclean and we cannot be brought into God's presence. The disease of sin has affected us and we need to be cured from it. But the second problem is that we cannot cure ourselves. The disease of sin, like the diseases that are so rampant today, and we cannot but turn on the radio or the television, and we are bombarded with the news about SARS, a mysterious disease. It cannot be found out what is causing it yet, and how that they can find an antidote yet. And unfortunately, sin is just like that in humanity. People will look to find their own remedies for this disease. They will try by humanitarian programs. They will try by social restructuring and by rehabilitation. And our prisons are filled with people that are going through rehabilitation. But does that cure the disease of sickness? What about religion? Religion of works. Every religion in the world today suggests that by living a good life and by living and doing good works, you are going to be able to weigh out the bad things that you have done in your life. But sin has blinded the mind and has corrupted the senses. It has distorted the reason and the understanding. And at one time, God could be clearly seen in nature. And Adam walked and was communing with God in the garden. He could see and have fellowship with God, even through nature. But after he sinned, and the fall came, no longer was he able to see God clearly in nature, because sin had blinded his mind and his eyes. And remember that woman that had the issue of blood that came to the Lord? 12 years. She had spent everything she had to get a cure, but she was none the better, but only grew worse. She could not cure and heal herself. Remember Naaman, the captain of the host of Syria? He was a leper. He was set apart from society and he could not cure himself. No, friend, you have to understand first of all that you are sick with sin and that you cannot cure yourself and that you must look to the only divine cure. And here we see it in our text today, speaking about the balm in Gilead. It is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter said in the day of Pentecost, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven, given among men whereby we must be saved. Don't be like Naaman. For he said, are not these rivers that we have here in Damascus, the rivers of Abana and Pharpar, are they not they better than all the rivers in Israel? Of course, the great picture there is that don't be looking to yourself and the things that you can do for healing, for we must look beyond ourselves. Friend, you must look to the divine healing that comes only from Jesus Christ. For He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. There is only one balm of healing, only one fountain of cleansing, and that is that fountain that has been filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. Come, my friend, this day, taste and see that the Lord is good. There is plenteous power in Christ's blood to heal the very vilest, the most wicked. There is power in the atonement of Jesus Christ to heal 10,000 worlds. And sometimes people get troubled about that term, limited atonement. But friend, limited atonement in the doctrines of Calvinism has nothing at all to do with limiting the power of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Just the opposite. It has to do with the extent of the atonement, not the power that is in the atonement itself. For the blood of Jesus Christ, because it was the blood of God, had the power to save world after world after world, because it was pure and without sin. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Jesus Christ is the one who bore our sins in His own body on the tree, and by whose stripes ye were healed. Friend, do not let your conscience be pacified by a false peace. You'll notice in chapter 8 and verse 11, there was a false peace that was going around, for they, that is the people who have rejected the Lord and His Word and His Prophet, they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people. All the people that were in Israel at that time, they've healed the hurt slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And so Satan will come to your heart and he will try to give you a band-aid solution to your sin. When really what is needed, you must come for that perfect and complete healing to the cross of the Lord Jesus. For that work is now finished. For Jesus Christ has paid it all, and it is all to Him that we owe. For sin had left a crimson stain, but He has washed it white as snow. But my friend, not only is there here today a remedy in Christ for those who are unsaved, there is restoration for those who are backsliders. Do you know that Jesus Christ is married to the backslider? Married to those who have come to Him in faith at one time, but perhaps some things have happened, some events have occurred in your life that have taken you away from the Lord. Something has occurred, and maybe in your own mind and heart even today you wonder, am I truly saved? Do I really know the Lord? Does He really love me today? Oh, my friend, let me assure you from the Scripture, there is a balm in Gilead. There is healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is restoration for those who have slidden back and have made mistakes and have gone away from God. Come, my friend, back today. Maybe you have been away for a long time. Maybe you have gone a long distance. You have doubted your salvation. You are feeding on the husks of this world just like the prodigal son did. And you're not satisfied, for the world can never satisfy once a person has come to really taste and see who Jesus Christ is. The world can never bring satisfaction. Yes, you've been stubborn. Yes, there's been rebellion in your heart. Yes, the Lord has been prompting you and has been leading you, and you've been resisting against Him. But resist no longer, my friend. For there is restoration here. In the Word of God, restoration for the backslider. Look today to Jesus Christ. Look to the balm in Gilead. Take a fresh look at Christ today. Look at what He did for you. He is Jehovah Rophika. I am the Lord that healeth thee, He says. I am the one who is the restorer of the years the locusts have eaten. And my, for many of us, that word has been such an encouragement. For we can look back to our life and we can see years that have been wasted because of the flesh. Wasted because of things of the world. And the locusts have devoured much in our life. But you know the Lord's promise is that He will restore those years. He will restore that damage that has been done. We need to return today unto Him. and turn again to the one who has said, I will heal your backslidings. Let the prayer of Psalm 41 come to your heart. Lord, be merciful unto me and heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. The Lord has said, a broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. There is healing today for those who are in their sin. There is restoration today for those who have been distant from the Lord for years. But there is also something else. There is renewal for those who are weary in the battle. Tired in the battle? Depressed, perhaps? No, you don't fall into that category of being backslidden away from God, for your heart's cry is, I want to go on with God. I want to live each day for the Lord. You're not backslidden, but you may well be weary. You may well be crushed inside because of some affliction that the devil is bringing against you. My friend, today for you there is renewal from the great physician. There is renewal here in the balm in Gilead for the one who is tired, longing for the knowledge of God and a deeper experience of the Lord in your life, longing to know God's will, crying out for revival from the hand of God. Yes, my friend, there is renewal for the weary. You desire to be used of the Lord in your life. You desire to know that fulfillment of the will of the Lord, of that constant communion. I tell you that all of these things, they flow from the merit of Jesus Christ and of His cross work. All these things that we desire of the Lord, they come to us through His Son. For He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also freely with Him give us all things? Friend, these all things are for you this very day. And we can walk daily in the light of the victory of Jesus Christ. Do you know we own it? For God has given it to us. What is the problem? Why, we fail to take it as our own. We fail to appropriate those promises. Ah, my friend, this day, come with renewed heart. Come in simple faith and rely and rest upon the Lord. And come to claim that healing that there is in the atonement for you. Come to claim that renewal that there is for the weary in heart. Not only do we have in this text the means of healing, which is the balm in Gilead, but we have also the means of application. How is this going to be applied to our life? Is it going to be by willpower? Is it going to be by yourself turning over a new leaf, making a new decision? This is what I have to do? Oh, my friend, this healing must be applied by the physician. The physician's task is to perform the operation, to apply the medicine to the patient. The Holy Spirit takes those things of Christ and He shows them unto men. And it is by the power of the Holy Ghost that, sinner, your heart will be regenerated and brought to faith in Jesus Christ. Regenerating power of the Holy Ghost makes us alive to the truth of the Lord. And then He applies that truth of the atonement to our soul. And once we were dead, but now, quickened, made alive in Jesus Christ, one moment dead in sins, another moment alive in Christ, one moment dark in the darkness of our heart, and the next into the light and the liberty of the sons of God. He is the one who opens our eyes to the meaning of what Christ did on the cross. No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. May I ask the question today in closing? is there healing for you? Does the work of Christ on the cross apply to you? Friend, if you're without Christ, by the authority of this word, I can tell you and I can show you and prove to you that it applies to you. For the whosoever will may come, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise. It is His word and His truth. And is there healing for you, friend, if you've been away from God? Let him that is athirst come. Let him that is tired and weary come. For there is remedy for the sinner, and there is restoration in the joy of the Lord. And there is certainly renewal for him that is weary in their heart. Come this day, my friend, and rest yourself upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer.